The news media have been heavily covering Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan since Mitt Romney named him as his running mate last weekend. Has the coverage been fair and accurate? Our first guest from FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, says the coverage has been largely fluffy and fawning. Here's a montage of some of the coverage from The Daily Show.
He was prom king.
He sleeps in his office.
He likes to hunt elk.
He even drove the famous Wienermobile.
Ryan also gets a charge out of catching giant catfish with his bare hands.
He would be the first from Wisconsin and the first named Paul.
The Gov already teaching the Ryans the beauty of a peanut butter and honey sandwich.
He's a fitness buff who got some of his colleagues hooked on a grueling exercise routine called P90X.
So what do you think of the media coverage of Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan ever since he was picked as Mitt Romney's vice presidential running mate? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August 16th. Our first guest is Peter Hart, activism director for Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So it's been fluffy and fawning?
I think that's part of it, sure. And as usual, The Daily Show does a good job of capturing some of the most absurd things on television. But I think the important thing to remember is this is not necessarily all that new. Paul Ryan is a character that the media have attached themselves to going on probably 18 months since he emerged as the voice of the Republican majority in Congress. And I think he combines the personality attributes that were, I think, evident in the clip, the things they love to talk about, the Eagle Scout with the piercing blue eyes and so on. But on the policy side, he is advocating some ideas that I think a lot of people in the media think are bold, courageous, and necessary. They're very conservative the math doesn't really add up, but nonetheless Ryan has accomplished this amazing feat of being treated as a serious wonk by the Beltway media when in fact he isn't really one.
Well, why do you say he's not a wonk if he's the author of the GOP budget and all of these so-called bold ideas?
Well, budgets, I think there's an old saying in politics that I think is true. Budgets are political documents. They're not intended to be necessarily fiscally sound or even make much sense. And the more you dig into Ryan's budgets, the more you realize that this is an extreme version of this. The first budget that he released to great acclaim assumed unemployment plunging to 3% for no particular reason, but it makes the numbers work a lot better to say we're going to achieve unprecedented levels of employment that we haven't seen in 40-some-odd years. It assumes a cut in government spending that would basically eliminate everything that the government is able to do outside of health care, Social Security, and the military budget. It doesn't want to cut the military budget, so there would be nothing left in the budget to pay for any government services whatsoever. That would be sometime around the year 2040. These are the assumptions that are built into the budget in order to make the math make sense. And in order to make the math make sense, you have to apparently give massive tax cuts mostly geared toward the wealthy. That's what's in the budget. And what's, I think, striking is that even some of Ryan's critics who point this stuff out will still nonetheless give him credit for being bold and courageous and very honest, when in reality the budget seems more like a sham.
I certainly see stories. You don't think we see stories about Ryan's proposals to end Medicare as we know it?
You do. I think it's more common to see stories that reach for different kinds of euphemisms. He wants to revamp or reshape Medicare. He wants to make changes to Medicare. ABC had a piece a couple of days ago that talked about it, that essentially told viewers that what you're going to get is you're either going to stay in regular Medicare or you're going to get money from the government to buy private health insurance. And who knows, you might even find a health insurance policy and you'll get a refund from the government. It's really implausible that that's going to happen. But you have to find a way, for whatever reason, to describe these policies in ways that sound serious or I think obscure or mask some of the harsh medicine that is involved here.
Well, do you want the news media to trash the budget, to take to say this won't work or this is going to be terrible?
I think it would be more helpful if the media tried to explain the most likely effects of the budget. And I think even more importantly, you know, you talk to economists around Washington, D.C., there are a million different ways to achieve the kind of debt reduction and achieve budget surplus in the long term. There are all kinds of ways to do this. Ryan's budget gets enormous attention. You know, there's a similar attempt to do to envision a long-term strategy from the Progressive Caucus, the left wing of the Democratic Party. You'd never know it. It's not written about. It's not talked about. But Ryan does have this kind of rock star status. The other thing that's important to point out is that the assumption in a lot of the coverage is that this is going to do something about taming the debt and reducing our budget deficits. Ryan's budget, by his own implausible calculations, doesn't do that for decades. So you do have this scenario where he gets credit for a budget that does things that, by its own math, it doesn't do for a long time. It's a very unusual scenario, and I think that's why some of the coverage wraps up this message in, as the Daily Show clip you played, wraps it up in this sort of kind of heroic self-made man. You know, there's a guy who fishes with his hands and all that kind of stuff. The media are attracted to the kind of personality characteristics that they see in Paul Ryan. And so that, I think, spills over into the coverage of his budget ideas.
Well, we are going to hear from a guest, Tim Graham, from the Media Research Center, who has a much different take on the media coverage of Paul Ryan. And will, among other things, say that the media have been trying to trash Ryan, that just as they have to all other Republican vice presidential candidates, that they are saying all sorts of derogatory things about him. What's your reaction to that?
You know, I think there are probably partisans in the media, Democratic operatives and even some columnists and pundits who have been unusually harsh about Paul Ryan. But I don't think in the main that's the kind of tone of the coverage. I think, honestly, you know, there's a lot of complaining about the tone of the campaign so far. So I think there has been a kind of harsh edge to it on all sides across the board. But I don't see really any kind of sense that there's an overwhelming hostility to Paul Ryan. As I mentioned, it goes way back, you know, to, I think, when he was first on the national scene. Reporters have a very, behind the scenes, have a very good relationship with Paul Ryan, and I think they admire the kinds of things he's talking about. Other budget experts will say there's very little admirable in that, but I think the tendency in the media has been to blur the distinctions and to talk about his personality as if it's inseparable from the policy ideas that he's talking about, which are indeed very harsh.
We are talking with Peter Hart, Activism Director for FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And he's giving us his take on the media coverage so far of Paul Ryan. And we wonder what your take is. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What are you hearing that you disagree with or annoys you? What are you not hearing that you want to hear or see in the media when it comes to the coverage of the new Republican vice presidential running mate? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We can expect decreasing clouds today. There will be areas of rain in southern and eastern Wisconsin, mainly this morning. It's going to be a mild day today with highs in the upper 60s in northern Wisconsin, only getting into the mid-70s in the southern part of the state. Clear tonight, lows in the mid to upper 40s, and sunny and very mild tomorrow, and by mild, much cooler, highs of only 70 degrees tomorrow. We are talking about media coverage of Paul Ryan during this hour, getting two different perspectives from two different guests from different media watchdog groups. Our first guest is from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Peter Hart says that for the most part, the news media has been playing up Paul Ryan's personality traits. It's kind of fluffy and fawning, but also inaccurately praising his abilities as a policy wonk and as being someone who is bold and courageous with his budget ideas without really examining that very thoroughly. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's take a call. Let's go to Bruce in Shatek. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think the professor here is given unfavorable reporting of Ryan's budget when the president proposed a budget and didn't get even one vote in the Senate from even the Democrat Party, and we don't hear anything about that. The comparison of the two budgets is night and day.
Well, what about that? Even though we're talking about media coverage of Paul Ryan, he's saying we've seen plenty of coverage on his budget, but nothing on President Obama's budget, Peter Hart.
Yeah, the Obama budget, I think, came up for a vote as a kind of a ploy for the Republicans, and Democrats decided they weren't going to vote for it. So you have this strange vote where no Democrats are supporting the Democratic president's budget plan. I think there's a good case to be made that the Obama White House and the administration in general should be more proactive in explaining what their vision is and how it differs. And in fact, Jeffrey Sachs, an economist, he's probably not typical, but he wrote a piece for the Financial Times, I think yesterday, saying that the differences between the Obama budget and the Ryan budget are not as significant as you might think. And that's because Obama has told people over various occasions and in interviews that he would do something, not sure what, to curtail the costs associated with Social Security and Medicare. So I think the Republicans have politically, very wisely, come into this and said, here's our vision. And it's very harsh. It cuts spending on Medicare because Medicare recipients are going to have to make up what the government is not going to be spending in 25, 35 years. That's an easy way to save money, make people pay more for their health care. But the Democratic Party, I think, has not done enough to envision its own sort of fiscal plan for the future. The left wing of the Democratic Party did in the People's Budget, but Obama had nothing to do with it, didn't talk about it, didn't embrace it. So you do have this other budget plan that's out there that I think would be a fantastic contrast with the Ryan budget, but politically speaking, the Democratic Party leadership isn't behind that, so they're not offering a contrast. So I understand when people say, why all the talk about Ryan when the Democrats don't seem to be coming up and saying what they would do. I think there's some truth to that, but it doesn't obscure the fact that we need to talk about the Ryan budget, since this is really what the Republicans say they want to run on.
Our next caller is Duane in Wausau. Hi, Duane.
Oh, good morning. I like your show.
Well, thank you, Duane. What's your thought on this?
Well, the media coverage, what's been kind of irking me a long time is how they're allowed to just make blanket statements without any rebuttal. They could take things out of context and just, they're looking into Ryan's past, and I think when you're going to be a U.S. Senator, you could be in there for a long time. And I think it is fair, to look into one's past or things they've done. And a lot of it's flattering. Some of it might not be flattering, but...
And of course, you just misspoke. He's going to be he's running for vice president, not senator.
Thinking I'm Tommy Thompson. You're talking about earlier, and then he was. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But anyway, so what's your overall point here, Duane? Well, do you think that the media are too easy on someone like Ryan, or too hard on him, or what?
Well, I don't think they're too hard on him. I think everything's open. Maybe keep religion out of it and your faith and. The media should not allow. I mean, like when he says President Obama, it's been worse since he took office, and you know, what part of 700,000 jobs being shut a month don't they get when President Obama took office with 40 months of job growth or 40 a long, you know, almost consistent job growth.
Yeah, I think Dwayne, I get you, and I know he. I think Dwayne has the point that people can say things on different TV shows or in the media. Politicians can say things, even if, and there's no fact checking, and that there's really no counter argument to some of the claims being made. What do you think, Peter?
I think there's some truth to that. I think he's got a good point, Joy. The on one of the Sunday shows, you have a surrogate for the Romney campaign saying, you know, Obama stole $700 billion from the Medicare Trust Fund. Nothing like that ever happened, and there's no way to take that statement and turn it into a true statement. But viewers didn't hear that. Viewers didn't see the person, Ed Gillespie, questioned on this. The Romney campaign has made a big deal of Medicare cuts under the Affordable Care Act, under Obamacare. And now, you know, 2 days into that, we find out that, oh, if you look in the Ryan budget, all those cuts are carried forward. So Ryan is endorsing these cuts. It takes a long time for people to get the kind of context that I think they need to make an informed decision. And in real time, when you have this media system that has a surrogate for this party and a surrogate for this campaign coming on and speaking past one another and making claims that are not fact-checked or not challenged, it can be very difficult for people to understand what the truth is. And I think that gets to the kind of frustration people have with the media. If something is false, can't we just say that it's false, or if it's wildly misleading, or if it's completely out of context? But I think politicians have learned at a certain level that they can go on TV and make those kinds of accusations about their opponent, and they're not going to be stopped. And if you're not going to be stopped, why not? Why would you stop doing that?
Well, let me play an example of on CNN. Soledad O'Brien was interviewing Mitt Romney surrogate, campaign surrogate John Sununu, and was calling him on that claim of the cuts to the Medicare budget to fund Obamacare. And he got really frustrated. Let's take a listen.
Soledad, stop this. All you're doing is mimicking the stuff that comes out of the White House and gets repeated on the Democratic blog boards out there. If you're going to mouth,
I'm telling you what factcheck.com tells you. I'm telling you what the CBO tells you. I'm telling you what CNN's independent analysis
does. I've got the CBO report right here.
And I'm telling you what it says.
Put an Obama bumper sticker on your forehead when you do this.
Put an Obama bumper sticker on your forehead when you do this, so that then reporters can be criticized for being in the pocket of the other camp.
That's the pushback, yeah. And you know, you hear something like that, which was a really remarkable exchange and got a lot of attention because it's so unusual. And you saw the reaction of John Sununu. He was outraged that he would be asked to substantiate what he was saying. And I think that it's a perfect example of how rare this kind of approach is in the media. Now, the thing about that is that I think a lot of TV journalists, if they were to do that regularly, and the politician that they're interviewing or the surrogate that they're interviewing is shouting and screaming at them, a lot of outlets don't want that. And so you'd be taken aside by an editor or producer and said, you know, maybe next time we're not going to do that because it degenerated into a shouting match. But it is a very unusual, very rare thing to see in the media. It would be great to see more of that, although it would be nice if we could have that conversation without the screaming and the name-calling.
Let's go to Dan in La Crescent next. Hello, Dan.
Hi. I object to the use of bold and courageous when they're talking about Ryan's budget plan. I mean, it's, you know, from my perspective, it's nothing but a wish list from the right wing, and I don't see anything bold and courageous about making a wish list. You know, it's something that 10-year-olds do at Christmas every year, and I think if you contrast that with Obama's wish list, which included Obamacare, they didn't call that bold and courageous. Instead, they said he was ramming it down our throats.
Yeah,
and that's my comment.
Yeah, and you got to be who is calling his plan bold and courageous? Are these surrogates, and we're just blaming the media on it?
I think it comes from surrogates, but it also comes in straight news reporting. I think you can see a lot of coverage that talks about him as a numbers guy, an expert on the budget, a master of the federal budget, as 60 Minutes called him. So that's, I think, the attributes that are made often show up in straight news reporting, not coming from surrogates at all. He's no more master of the federal budget than a number of other politicians, and certainly many other economists and budget wonks, actual budget wonks in Washington. But you do have to call him this in order to convince people that they need to take his ideas very seriously, and take them more seriously than perhaps ideas coming from the other side of the political aisle.
So in our final minute, how would you like to see Paul Ryan covered?
Well, I think you're seeing some of this shift. You know, particularly on this Medicare question, where people are digging into the idea that some of the things that outrage Romney and Ryan about Obamacare and about how it treats Medicare are duplicated in the Ryan budget. So now the Ryan and Romney camps are scrambling to sort of explain that. I think a clearer explanation of his Medicare plan would help. I think the clearest explanation of his plans for federal spending would make a lot of sense. When you explain to people that the only reason his budget attempts to get toward balance in the long term is by slashing all manner of government spending except the military, then you begin to understand what kind of radical vision this is for the American government and for the American people. If that's made clear to people, I think the coverage will begin to shift, and people's sentiments will as well.
And you've heard enough about his fitness routine.
Sure, yeah.
All right. Thanks very much. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Peter Hart, Activism Director for Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. We'll check news, and then we will get a different perspective on media coverage of Paul Ryan from the Media Research Center. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We just heard from a guest from FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, who says that the media coverage of Paul Ryan so far has been a lot of fluff and fawning and very subjective and unquestioning when Ryan is called bold and courageous and a brilliant policy wonk, when our guest said that's debatable. Now we will get a different perspective. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, August the 16th. We welcome in Tim Graham now, Director of Media Analysis at the Media Research Center, who says that the media are doing all they can to trash Ryan. And he says this is something we have done to previous Republican vice presidential candidates as well. And we will wonder what you think of the media coverage of Paul Ryan. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Any stories or interviews that you thought were particularly good or bad? What kind of reporting do you want to see more of? We welcome your thoughts and questions. Tim Graham joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Good. Well, we did hear from a guest from FAIR, and he said Paul Ryan isn't necessarily bold and courageous and is not necessarily some brilliant budget or policy wonk, and the media should be, you know, delving into these numbers and not just calling him brilliant. What do you say?
Well, that's not what we've seen. I think that there is an acknowledgement in the part of the media that Ryan is serious, that he is on the Republican side a leader in the budget, on the budget, on budget matters. I would grant that the media has explained that. I think what we've primarily focused on in these first couple of days is the idea that the news media would say that Ryan is a budget slasher, that they use terms like that. And I think that you have to, again, look at the actual budget numbers we're discussing. We've actually had kind of an intriguing turn of events where this morning on the NBC's Today show, they very calmly explained that both the Ryan budget and the Obama plan reduce Medicare without touching enrollees. Well, that's something that never gets said. You know, all the time we've talked about reductions in growth, reductions in expected growth get described as slashing cuts. And, you know, it could affect people in the Medicare program, but I think that the way, the terminology they use, the shorthand that the networks and the newspapers use, really are imply something false, and that is that the Medicare budget is being reduced overall. When, you know, obviously Medicare and Social Security, two are the most rapidly expanding programs we have in the federal government.
Tim, your take on Republican guests on talk shows who say Obama stole $700 billion or million from Medicare to fund Obamacare?
Well, I wouldn't say stole. I would just say, you know, took money from over here and put it over there. I mean, I think that one of the reasons the Republicans have been so eager on this issue is that we've had so much demagoguery on this issue over the years. I certainly recall in the mid-1990s where Speaker Newt Gingrich had suggested that they were going to redirect or make a reduction in growth in Medicare. We had literally thousands of stories in the newspapers talking about Gingrich's harsh Medicare cuts. Well, if you're going to apply that standard to the Republicans in the mid-90s, you certainly can apply that standard to Barack Obama and what he decided to do to reallocate Medicare funds as part of the Affordable Care Act. And if that's sloppy and inaccurate, well, then the media ought to really confess that they've been covering Medicare with a lot of sloppy inaccuracy for decades.
I'm going to play a clip that we actually played in our last half hour for our previous guest, just so listeners who might have just joined us can hear it. This is an interview that got a lot of attention just in the past a couple of days. It was with CNN's Soledad O'Brien interviewing John Sununu, who is a surrogate, a spokesperson for Mitt Romney's campaign, talking about the cuts in Medicare.
Soledad, stop this. All you're doing is mimicking the stuff that comes out of the White House and gets repeated on the Democratic blog boards out there. If you're going to mouth,
I'm telling you what factcheck.com tells you. I'm going to telling you what the CBO tells you. I'm telling you what CNN's independent analysis
does. I've got the CBO report right here.
And I'm telling you what it says.
Put an Obama bumper sticker on your forehead when you do this.
So she was trying to question the talking point, and he said, put an Obama bumper sticker on your forehead when you do this. What do you think of that?
Well, that has been something that the conservatives have really enjoyed. I mean, one of the things that conservatives don't do usually on liberal media outlets is challenge the liberal anchors with that kind of aggressiveness. So people have really enjoyed John Sununu. Some people are trying to promote him to be vice president, which, of course, he cannot be vice president because he was born in Cuba. But, you know, the thing that's funny about all of this is, look, we know what the Obama talking points are. Everybody who listens to the stump speech know what they are. The media certainly know what they are. So if they want to avoid the charge of repeating the Obama talking points, then they should know how to avoid those.
So you think that she was being liberal and repeat? I mean, she shouldn't have challenged Sununu on what he was saying.
Well, I think if you follow Soledad O'Brien over weeks and months since she's assumed this morning anchor slot at CNN, she routinely comes to Obama's defense in a very aggressive way and suggests that people who critique Obama are false. So, I mean, John Sununu's remarks to some extent reflect Soledad O'Brien's reputation as sort of like, hi, I'm the White House spokesman sitting here in the CNN studio.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to spend the whole half hour on that particular exchange. What is it? What else don't you appreciate about how the media is covering Paul Ryan in particular since he was picked as Mitt Romney's vice presidential running mate?
Well, the other prominent thing that I would take exception to is early polling where they said more people dislike the choice than like the choice. In polling, they did in like the first 24 hours. When what you'd find is that 58% of the people polled or whatever didn't know who Paul Ryan was. So in that case, I think they ought to lay off the early polling results or just say it, you know, report it honestly. 20% say it'll help, 17% no, 58% have no idea who this person is.
I think you also took issue with this particular story. This is NBC's Brian Williams. Let's take a listen to this.
All four men in the race were out campaigning, and for the new man, Paul Ryan, incoming fire on his own record and a not-so-warm welcome to the big leagues during his appearance today at the Iowa State Fair.
So he was heckled at the Iowa State Fair by a couple of women who also tried to get up on the stage. What was wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's factually accurate. He was heckled. I think it's the whole idea of, you know, a few years ago, everybody remembers in 2008, when Obama was campaigning, if there was a heckler, it was a sign that America still had serious problems with hate. You know, part of it's just the framing. It's not simply that, you know, it's the way Williams says, you know, welcome to the big leagues. It's just the sound of that. Yep. Paul Ryan's been in the big leagues. Obviously, he hasn't been in a national campaign. But I take some exception to the idea of the way these nightly news anchors have such of a swagger, like, welcome to the big leagues, little guy. That's kind of what stuck out to me. But, again, part of it also is one of the reasons the networks would usually put hecklers aside is they would say, these are partisans trying to change, you know, the storyline. So if you have hecklers shouting at Obama, they're either going to get ignored or they're going to be presented as, you know, partisans. You know, when you say, gee, it was a bad day for Ryan out there, you're basically accomplishing for the hecklers exactly what they were attempting to do.
Yeah, it's hard though, Tim. I shared on Facebook. I shared on Facebook. Here's the story about the rally in Waukesha where Mitt Romney, the homecoming with Paul Ryan and all the cheering crowds, and the next day there was an NPR story as well on the heckling that happened at the Iowa State Fair, and I shared that on
sure.
Facebook. And some listeners, shame on you, Joy. How dare you, you know, show your bias this way? And it's I don't see that as being biased by sharing the different reports that are happening with Paul Ryan.
Sure. I think you can say there were hecklers today in Iowa. And I think the way that Ryan handled it, which is probably better than the way I would handle it, was to say, you know, we're civil here in Iowa and Wisconsin. I don't think these ladies are from Iowa or Wisconsin. It's pretty much the best you could do. I don't remember whether Brian Williams actually ran that rebuttal or retort. But, I mean, I think that to some extent, again, I guess all I'm saying, Joy, is yes, I expect the news media to report what happened, where you go. But I just want to make the point that sometimes we, you know, do have a differing double standard on how are we going to cover hecklers? Are they tribunes of the people on some occasions, and on other occasions they're disturbing signs of hatred in the country.
Tim Graham is our guest. He is Director of Media Analysis at the Media Research Center. He happens to be a native of Viroqua, Wisconsin. And he is talking with us about media coverage of Congressman Paul Ryan since Ryan became Mitt Romney's running mate. And we wonder what you think of the media coverage so far. Too hard, too soft, good, bad, otherwise, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. That's the theme from Vertigo, and it was recently named the greatest film of all time. We're going to talk about the greatest films of all time coming up after 8 o'clock. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's now 11 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, August 16th. It's going to be a rainy morning in southern and eastern Wisconsin this morning, then decreasing clouds and very mild with highs today upper 60s in the north to the mid-70s in the south. We are talking about media coverage of Paul Ryan. During this hour, we heard from a guest from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, FAIR. In our first half hour, right now, we are hearing from Tim Graham, who is with the Media Research Center. And we go to Ellen in Brookfield next. Hello, Ellen.
Good morning. Good
morning.
I just wanted to say that I generally listen to CNN when I sit down and watch a television. I listen to NPR and WPR almost exclusively, and I read my local paper. And I have to say that I have heard really pretty much nothing negative about Ryan. And until about, well, I think it was yesterday or the day before, when I saw Soledad with another one of the surrogates, it wasn't Sununu, that is the first time I've actually heard any analysis or any, really, really substantive questioning based on actual information. And mostly I hear what a great guy he is. I get a lot of pictures of him doing his Mel Gibson eyes. For the most part, I think he has been treated extremely kindly. And the plain fact is, we are supposed to be having a lot of questioning. I'm happy to have Soledad do that, and somebody who actually uses information from the CEO. And I'd be happy to have that on Fox, too. What I really get is very balanced and very even listening to WPR for the most part. And I hear an awful lot of the extreme right and what used to be conservative and Republican on the programs on WPR. So I get a very good picture. But I have to say, all that liberal media, I have never once heard that there was a progressive budget or had any analysis of it. So
I guess your main point is that she's not hearing a whole lot of negative information about Paul Ryan, and she's not necessarily hearing glowing information about progressives either. But I don't want to focus this just on Wisconsin Public Radio at all. But she says we need more critical questioning on Fox and on CNN and all over the place, Tim Graham. Isn't that right?
Well, if she said she listens to NPR and hasn't heard criticism of Ryan, she must have missed Scott Horsley, who did a report that was all negative on Ryan, that the two people on the street they went to talk about Ryan both found him disturbing. Scott Horsley, to me, is another good example of a reporter who really likes to channel whatever the White House wants to be put forward. So yesterday we had a story where Scott Horsley forwarded Obama's joke about Romney putting a dog on the top of his car, doesn't explain it because he thinks the NPR listeners know exactly what joke that is, then goes on to say, and Romney spoke at a coal mine where 9 died. You know, I mean, this is the contrast rather stunning sometimes when you listen to NPR's coverage of politics.
Yeah, but what about we could use more critical questioning of everybody who's making a claim about a policy issue?
Sure. I think we do expect the media to investigate, you know, what should we do about the budget. I mean, I think the problem you usually have here is our news media spends more time on Miley Cyrus getting a haircut and not enough time on the budget, because really, when you go into these things and people watch the ratings, they know that when they discuss the federal budget or Medicare, people change the channel, and that's part of the problem we have. But yes, obviously we all say, let's have a nice, informed, substantive discussion of where the government spending is going. Everybody can be for that. I think what Soledad O'Brien represents is someone who always seems very annoyed that someone is questioning her hero, Barack Obama.
Yeah, but what about the coverage that was also cited in our first segment that was all about Paul Ryan's workout and his biceps and his catching catfish with his hands and going elk hunting and being all that kind of stuff?
I think you do get that pretty much with any vice presidential nominee. I think that if you go back to Sarah Palin, there was some positive coverage of where she came from. There also was, within about 10 minutes, very negative information about how she could possibly run for vice president when she had a disabled baby. When they named Joe Biden 4 years ago, you know, he was the scrappy kid from Scranton, Pennsylvania. You're going to get a certain amount of an introduction to the country. So if people want to complain that they talked about Paul Ryan and whether he has a bratwurst in his veins and still does the P90X, I mean, there's just going to be some of that no matter who gets picked.
Charlie in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Charlie.
Hi. I just wanted to say, Joy, that the coverage of Paul Ryan on both sides are going to lend towards the individual biases. MSNBC is going to take a harder view of Paul Ryan, whereas Fox is going to take a softer one. It's the fact that we are listening to both sides, and it has redirected in general the debate to more substantive things, such as the budget, that is actually helping the country. Mm-hmm. Whether Paul Ryan can catch a catfish with his hands or if he's going to throw grandma off the cliff, that's going to become irrelevant. What's going to become relevant is his plan and Romney's plan versus Obama's plan for the country, and that's being brought more to the forefront. So thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you, Charlie. You kind of got that right. Tim Graham, aren't we now focused more on these policy issues, these budget issues?
I hope so. I think that to some extent is what Romney was trying to do. I don't think Romney was trying to just win Wisconsin. I don't think Romney was just trying to balance out the ticket by age or geography. I think he really was trying to say, this is the direction I want to go in. I want to be serious about trying to do something. I mean, let's face it, we've had trillion-dollar deficits for 4 years now. This is really something that you could argue, deficit, not exactly a big concept with the news media, and they honestly let Obama suggest that by nationalizing health care, he'd be reducing the deficit, which to conservatives just sounds bizarre. So, you know, I do hope there's a nice, sober, substantive debate, and, you know, they'll get a little P90X on the side, but I think we are going to get a serious campaign.
I'm going to get one more quick one, very quick. Ben in Milwaukee, what did you think?
What I've seen in the media locally, for sure, is it's been a rah-rah session, a pep rally for Paul Ryan. I've seen almost nothing that's been critical of him, and this is pretty much across the board. Your guest right now is making the classical, oh, this liberal bias in the media argument that they've been talking about for the last 30 years, and the truth is what I see in the media is they bend over backwards to try to give coverage to both sides and particularly put on their soft-handed gloves for handling the right.
Bias is in the eye of the beholder, Tim Graham, is it?
Well, obviously, what we're trying to do at the Media Research Center every day is provide examples, and then you can debate the examples. I don't think when you look at all the syrupy covers on Time and Newsweek about Barack Obama 4 years ago, you could say they leaned against him and toward the right. I think if you look at what we got in Newsweek's covers this year of Mitt Romney, one where it's a Book of Mormon mocking cover and one where he's called part of the wimp factor, I don't think you can look at the news magazine's covers today and say, wow, they really favor Romney.
Yeah. Well, we'll leave it there for now, Tim. I'm sure we'll talk again. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Tim Graham, Director of Media Analysis at the Media Research Center. And in our first half hour, we heard from Peter Hart, Activism Director for Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, or FAIR. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Amanda Magnus for on-air direction and to Cynthia Schuster for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. We are going to talk about the greatest films of all time coming up after 8 o'clock. Do you think that Vertigo is the greatest film of all time? What do you think of it knocking Citizen Kane off the top spot? And what are some other films that belong on this list, according to you? After the news, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.